Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, I'm interviewing one of the UK's most successful and experienced affiliate marketing managers. His name's Ant Lynch, and I've worked with him for many, many years. So let's get started. Hi, Ant. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
All good, Mark. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
That's great. Well, I really wanted to get you on the podcast because I wanted to introduce the listeners to affiliate marketing specifically for e-commerce. And I think some people listening won't know what affiliate marketing is. And then obviously some people listening will be a lot more advanced. So I thought what we'd do is we'd start at the beginning, the basics, but let me just introduce you a little bit. So we've worked with you for about 15 years on affiliates. I can't remember the first company we originally worked with, but basically the reason I've kept working with you over the years is because you've just got such a wealth of knowledge in this area. And I can say to you, right, I've got this brand, they want to do this. You could tell me very quickly whether or not that company would work very well on affiliates or not. And you're the first to say, look, now that's just not going to work because it's this and they've got these characteristics. Or if you find someone, it's like, yeah, that's great, that's going to work. So that is the advantage of it. But I think let's just start right from the beginning. And, so what is affiliate marketing for e-commerce, just from the most basic level?
So affiliate marketing is where you'll promote your company's products or services on a host of affiliate sites. And in return, you pay them a commission for driving a sale or a lead. Basically, they normally drive through a affiliate network just for parity, really, just to make sure that everything's sort of, transparent, so that, there's a bit of trust there as well in driving through an affiliate network.
So one thing I always try and do is kind of bring it back to like a physical shop. So if I had a physical shop selling something, let's say I had a bakery, like my parents' bakery, what would be the equivalent of an affiliate at a physical shop? And so would that be someone that was, you'd say, look, if, someone at the butcher's next door, if you send someone around for a wedding cake and they mention your name, I'll give you 10%. Would that be the kind of equivalent?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it's just the online version of that. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, so it's effectively giving you a way to harness referrals and pay for them, isn't it? So, people who want to refer your business and it's commission only. So, if the butcher referred some business, I'm not giving him a fee to refer people, even if he doesn't. It's only when he actually sends people through.
Yeah, basically, it's only when someone actually purchases from you that you'll reward the affiliate. So the butcher can refer 10 people to you and you wouldn't pay him or her until one of them has actually purchased something from you.
Yeah. And so in terms of like an affiliate network, so they are basically places where affiliates like the butcher would go and then they would kind of say, right, I've got some customer clout. I've got some customer. I want to recommend some products and services, and they'd go to that kind of network and then look for people to promote, wouldn't they, through that network? So it's almost like them going to a town hall and saying, "Look, I've got stuff to promote," and then the town hall would then connect them with sellers.
Yeah, exactly right. You've got thousands of potential affiliates on an affiliate network that you can tap into straight away. So it's for transparency for the affiliate, but also for the brand, you can tap into hundreds of, if not thousands of affiliates really quickly and get promoting your product.
Yeah. And so obviously, you know, like everything, certain markets, as I kind of alluded to in the beginning, certain markets, certain products, certain e-commerce stores work better with affiliate marketing than others. So what would be a good example of, you know, like a really good market for affiliate marketing at the moment?
So there's several. With the current lockdown, I guess we're seeing a big explosion of online food retailers coming in. So that's a massive market at the moment, with a lot of people sort of switching to online purchasing, especially for the groceries. We've seen a huge uplift in that kind of area. I mean, anything sort of COVID affected that, you know, you don't want to go out to the shops for, has seen a really, really big uplift. And you've also got your mainstream sort of categories of affiliates that have always done well, sort of like fashion, electronics, computer games, stuff like that, that, you know, effectively you're going to get cheaper online than going to a retail outlet, I guess. So there's a lot of sectors that do really well, but at the moment, like you say, those COVID affected ones are really, really performing well at the moment.
So what would be an example of something that's kind of evergreen in affiliates that you would be like, this is my ideal customer to promote?
So yeah, fashion's always strong, and the reason for that is it's got thousands of affiliates that will push a fashion brand. You've got the explosion of social influencers now. They're all coming onto the affiliate networks to earn money. So you've got a really good choice of a huge wealth of affiliate publishers that you can choose to promote your products. So the opportunities is huge within that sector.
So basically we're looking for places where there's a lot of people around who are interested in this. So like something like gardening, for example, there'll be a lot of gardening bloggers, and there'll be a lot of women's fashion bloggers and things like that, where they would, you know, there'd be the potential for them to have built up a little bit of a following, and then for them to monetize that. So that what would be an example of a hard market for an affiliate marketing? I guess it would be the flip side of that, where there's no real bloggers and things like that. Would that be the case?
Yeah, it's tough, really. I guess any kind of product that's got a lot of competition but not a lot of differentiation into it, really. So I mean, it's something that really, where if you're just competing on price, it's just a race to the bottom, and it's tough to get affiliates to push a certain brand. So anything that's sort of flooded, and I can give an example of like a vaping sort of merchant would probably struggle now, because there's that many that have come into the market and jumped on the popularity of it, that it's really hard to break through. So anything that's, I guess, is a fad, I guess, that brands jump on, I guess, it's tough to break into.
CBD oil is something that seems to be.
Yeah. You get these trends where, you know, you see a huge array of new brands jumping onto it and want to go into affiliate marketing. And over time, you know, it just gets flooded with it, and it's tough to get affiliates to push the brand then.
And also, I imagine business to business is a bit harder. I mean, we, you know, like someone selling like casters for supermarket trolleys or something like that. I mean, it's just, you just don't have people out there.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to think that a lot of affiliates have a wide audience, you know, not sort of honing in on one niche. And something that's very, very, very niche, like casters, for example, you would get very, very targeted traffic from the very small amount of affiliates that would probably be able to drive some kind of traffic to it. But you would definitely struggle to scale and probably make it worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, you probably just get the people who are going to buy anyway clipping the ticket, wouldn't you? Which would be, you know, probably not worth having. So it really needs to be something where there are, big groups of people out there that are talking about it, that have networks. So something like cars, car parts, those kind of things work really well. Men's fashion, women's fashion, they work really, really well, because there's people out there that. They've developed full-time jobs to talk about those subjects, And therefore, yeah, you know, it's a bit like magazines, isn't it? You know, if there's not a magazine for it, you know, think about back to when the magazines were, you know, really, really popular. If there was a magazine for it, then you could probably do affiliate marketing for it. So like there'd be a magazine for like Airsoft, and there'd be a magazine for computing, PC computing stuff, but there wouldn't be a magazine for supermarket trolley casters, because no one wants to really read
about
that.
No, that's so, right. Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Yeah. So that's quite a good way to think about it. If there was a magazine for it, then you could probably do it. If there's not a magazine for your specific thing, then you might struggle.
Yeah.
So we touched a little bit on affiliate networks. So basically, affiliate network in my mind is, so if I was an affiliate, let's say I had a blog and I had a blog on roses, like gardening roses. And then I was thinking, right, well, I'd really like to monetize my blog traffic. I would then go and join an affiliate network and look for, gardening sites to promote. So how many affiliate networks are there in the UK, and which are the best ones, and who do you tend to work with?
There's a number of affiliate networks in the UK, probably established ones. There's probably, you're looking probably around 10 really good established ones. Over time, I guess someone like Awin is become sort of the biggest and best. It attracts the best merchants, not from the odd ones here and there. It attracts the best merchants, and ideally that sort of attracts the best affiliates onto the network as well. So, you know, there is a number of affiliates out there. CJ.com, they're all good. They're all good in certain ways, and they've all got their different brands to push on there. But Awin seems to be becoming sort of, well, it is the market leader in the UK, and might become the market leader worldwide in a few years as well.
Right. So, I mean, Affiliate Window does cover a lot of different types of markets, I know. But are there specific affiliate networks for, like, let's say you are doing luxury fashion or something like that? Would there be a specific network to go for that, or would you still go for Affiliate Window?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, we would do it. If it was eyeing up a luxury brand, we would, and you know, if we wanted to push that to a network, we'd do a bit of research on it and make sure that there is affiliates within that network to effectively push the brand before we decide which affiliate network to go to. And we'd look at that, you know, where is this brand's competitors, where are they, what network are they on, you know, the types of affiliates that are pushing the brand. So there's a lot of things to take into account before, I guess, you decide which network to go on. But effectively, Awin sort of cover a lot of niches and categories within their network. And, you know, they've got a lot of affiliates covering a whole host of niches. So, you know, I'd be surprised if Awin wasn't covering it and wasn't probably the best in the market within that niche as well.
Mm. And I think that there was like a glory days of affiliate marketing when it kind of came out, maybe like 8 years ago, and we all jumped onto it. And it was similar to the time when it was these coupon sites were making so much money, and a lot of people kind of got burnt by affiliates. And I think that there was the kind of aftertaste was that a lot of it wasn't incremental, like it wasn't recruiting new customers. It was just clipping the ticket of orders that they would already have. So how has that evolved, and you know, when can it go bad, and what can you do about it now that's different?
Yeah, you're definitely right. There was definitely an influx of voucher codes were doing well back in the day, and then there was a massive influx of everyone was doing voucher code sites, and in the end you could end up with four or five, if it wasn't managed properly, your program could end up with, you know, 200-400 voucher code sites, you know, all sort of brand bidding on your keyword terms. You know, this messaging was all wrong, false messaging causing havoc into your call centers. So you've just got to be careful. And that's where I guess it's come from, where it's given it a bit of a bad name in the past, where, you know, like you just mentioned, it doesn't drive incremental value. You would have got that sale anyway, and then you've got to pay the voucher code site on top as well. So you've just got to be careful when managing, and you've got to set that strategy out before you launch.
So let's say someone comes to my store and they're just about to buy, and they go, "Oh, Mark Hammersley's store voucher." They say, "Well, I'll go and search, see if I can find a voucher code. I can see a voucher code on the basket. I'll go and search for Mark Hammersley voucher code and pick one up." And then obviously they go on to something like My Voucher Codes, see a coupon, and they apply it. So how do you stop that? How do you stop that from taking a commission on that?
Well, the only way to do that is to not have them on the program, so that the link isn't live on their site. Otherwise, you'll be paying commission on every click that goes through there. So you have got to be careful, and there is way, you know, voucher codes. Not all voucher code sites are bad. They do have their element of, I guess they do add a bit of incremental value. Some of the bigger ones do with a big audience. So I wouldn't rubbish all of them, but a high amount of them definitely doesn't drive any kind of incremental value. So you've just got to be careful on how you deal with them, really, and how you manage them and your voucher strategy, I guess.
Because one of the annoying things is, I think they pick up the email code, and then you see the email code on the coupon site. Is there a way to just basically say, look, if you come through with an email code, I'm not going to accept the order? Can you reject those? Or
yeah, you can. I mean, you can reject. You know, you can set the instructions of your affiliate program to what you want, and you can reject any non-affiliate friendly codes, I guess. But that has a bad effect on your affiliate program, because if you're rejecting a lot of orders, then your conversion rate in the program goes right down. And when affiliates are looking to join your program and they're seeing the conversion rate really low, it's not that attractive to them, and they'll probably turn to a competitor that, you know, just drive a better conversion rate and a higher EPC, I guess. So you've just got to be careful on how you manage it. You've just got to take all those factors into account before, I guess, accepting a voucher code onto the program. So that's where you're planning before you launch a program comes into play.
So it sounds like, because I think we still see people with lots of voucher codes on the program, and I think what I would probably do is I'd pull off those orders and then look to see whether they're existing customers or new customers. Because if they're just driving existing customers, then it's probably quite likely that coupon site is not adding any value. But if you do the analysis and then you find that a lot of those, you know, that coupon site is actually driving new business, then it's probably worth having. So I think you can see an affiliate window and affiliate network. It does give you the transaction ID, and then you can match that to whether that's an existing customer or new customer. So, you know, if you are going to accept coupon sites, or you have them on the program and you want to know whether to get rid of them, that would be the way that I would look at it. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Another big giveaway is you'll notice in terms of how many orders they're driving as well, in terms of, are they sitting on brand plus voucher terms? So if they're sitting ranked number 1, 2, or 3 on brand plus voucher terms, yeah, there's a good chance they're not driving a massive amount of incrementality, because, you know, they're just searching for brand plus voucher.
So like John Lewis voucher codes, and then
that's right, John Lewis promo code, John Lewis discount code. So. And if they're sitting, you know, if the voucher code is sitting top of those searches, then, you know, it's highly likely, because the voucher box is in the checkout, that they're going to search for that. And, you know, it's not driving a massive amount of incrementality. And like I say, if you paid as well to come through another channel like PPC or something, you know, it's like you're double paying, really, for that customer.
One thing you mentioned before was your kind of stats. So if I am that blogger, that Rose blogger, and I've got this blog and I'm on affiliate window and I'm looking, I guess the stats of, you know, when I get to choose who I'm going to choose to promote, I'm obviously going to look at the stats of each e-commerce business that I want to promote. And I'm going to be looking at things like conversion rate, earnings per click is another one, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, rejection rate.
Yeah, so the validation rate is an important one.
Yeah. And so how can, you know, let's say you've got a low conversion rate. Let's say you've got loads of traffic from certain affiliates, maybe competitions and stuff. What would you do to make sure that your stats were better than everybody else's? How can you manage that?
So there's a number of ways, really. I mean, if you've got affiliates driving thousands of clicks but no conversions, then you need to approach them and ask them why, find a way of, you know, is there a way of we can convert this traffic? If there's not, you know, if it is low quality traffic, I don't know, like competition traffic or something like that, then it might be that you just need to cut the losses and take them off the program. And it might be that you need to do a bit of a review of anyone driving over a certain amount of clicks that's not converting and it's really driving your metrics down, that you'll need to sort of cull at the end of the day just to improve the stats on the program. And over time, you know, that will prove, you know, very, very valuable to you, because then you'll start to get the better quality affiliates coming on board and driving a sale for you.
Yeah, I mean, because from what I've seen of the stats, is it's like the 80-20 rule, in terms of you might get like five affiliates driving 80% of the revenue of the program. And I think that those are the ones you really want. And if you don't, you know, if you don't have good stats and you let everybody on, like loads of competition sites just driving loads of traffic, but it's going to stop those big guys coming on in the first place and going, well, I know I can drive revenue from my traffic. And if your conversion rate is only like 0.5 and someone else is offering 2%, you're going to stop those whales coming.
Yeah.
So it's better to kind of cultivate your stats so that you become the obvious choice for the best people in the industry.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've had examples where, you know, we've contacted big email affiliates, and the first thing they look at, obviously, because they need to monetize their email drop, is the EPC and, you know, the validation rate, all the metrics, really. And if it is low, it's a straight no. So it's just one example of where it could affect you, really, if you're reaching out to an affiliate. I guess their metrics are important.
So let's say we want to drive, let's say we're a fashion brand and we want to drive massive new customer recruitment from affiliates. So what type of affiliates would drive that for me? What is out there that you can get into? Are there like, you know, groups and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's dependent on the brand and what they want. You know, if it's a high-end brand, you know, you can go, there's a lot of influencers out there. There's Mumsnet. You know, there's some huge audiences out there. You know, there's a lot of fashion sites out there, like Reward Style. You know, there's huge amounts of fashion sites that have got huge followings that you'd be able to sort of get the brand out there straight away. It's just about working with the affiliate and making sure that they're happy to promote the brand.
What about like employee groups or, you know, trade unions, things like that? Are they starting to be quite big in the UK?
Yeah, so that's probably the biggest sort of area where we've seen affiliates grow it over the last probably two and a half years. It's closed group sort of affiliates that are tapping into a big audience. Like you've got a bundle of NHS closed group networks. Closed group network is where you can't see any offerings or discounts until you log in, or you're a member. So for example, if NHS discounts, you know, you have to sign up and you have to have your NHS ID to sign up. So you know it's a true audience. And some of these audiences are big, you know, 300,000-400,000. So you can get your product straight out to that kind of audience straight away. And that's an audience that you're not going to reach in other digital channels as well. So it's a great way of getting your brand out to new audiences.
And so what would be, I mean, how do you actually get into those? Do you just rock up and say, let me in, or what?
No, I suppose, yeah, you need to talk to the affiliate, you need to pitch. You have to normally have a best-in-class offer to go on there, because the pull of, I guess, of joining a closed group is, you know, you need to offer something a bit more than what's out there in the public domain. So someone can search Google and search for a discount. That basically they need to offer something that's a lot, well, not a lot stronger, but just stronger than what there is out there in the public if you type, you know, brand plus keyword. Voucher. So yeah, you know, you've got to be able to offer something for them, and you know that works in your favor as well, because you know the better the offer, the more likely you are to convert as well. So but it's just about getting your brand out to those audiences, I guess, that you can't reach in other channels, and that's where it really pays dividends in affiliates, because there's a lot of these closed groups that sprung up now. The big employee reward sort of platforms there that you can really sort of get your product out quickly to.
And so what would be, you know, like, obviously if you're a big brand and people know you, you're going to get into those things a lot more easily. But let's say, you know, as a startup, I've started getting a few sales. Is affiliate marketing something I should start straight away, or do I need to get to a certain level before it's, you know, it would work?
Yeah, I mean, ideally you'd want some brand search, definitely, before you enter, because it is a competitive sort of arena, especially depending how competitive the niche is as well, I guess. You know, if you've really carved out a really good niche where, you know, you're probably the market leader in that niche, it might be small, but you might be the market leader. And it might be worth launching your affiliates and building it up sort of slowly, because the beauty with affiliates as well is, you know, you only pay on a sale. So, you know, you can get a lot of free brand awareness there to help build up your brand as well. So there's two sides of it, really. But yeah, I mean, ideally you want to build up, you know, some kind of brand awareness before entering. It becomes a lot easier to recruit the better affiliates if they've sort of heard of your product, and, you know, if you're the sort of the market leader within that niche.
So basically, you kind of need to have a little bit of traction before you start. You can't just rock up, put some products on a site, and then say, right, I'm going to get these affiliates, and the affiliates is going to be my only channel, and I'm going to do it. It's like something that will, as you get more successful and more traction with your normal paid channels, affiliates will start to become into its own, because you become more recognizable and those kind of things when you start getting pushed. I guess if you've got something that is completely unique, that, let's say you're in gardening, and you've got some kind of tool that allows you to weed your garden in half the time, you know, that kind of product you could put in front of loads of affiliates straight away, and you probably make sales because people would be like, yeah, I get that. That's wow. That's amazing. I want to push it. But if you were just coming out with like another gardening shop selling the same forks and the same trowels that everybody else is selling, then it'd be difficult to get affiliate marketing going from the get-go, because they'd be like, well, why wouldn't I push this competitor? Because they're known, they've got a good conversion rate. And, you know, when people want something, they're going to go there. So it does come down to what it is you're selling and how novel this is for the market as well.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly what you said there. Why would someone push your brand over another brand where they've done well, you know, they're earning good commission, you know, why would they give away that traffic to another brand?
Imagine going back to my analysis that my parents' bakery, and that the butcher used to refer people for wedding cakes. You know, if someone opened a bakery shop opposite, and then they went into the butcher's and said, oh, we've got a butcher shop, but would you recommend us for wedding cakes? It's like, well, no, because we recommend Hammersley's for wedding cakes. Unless they suddenly decide, you know, if they suddenly moved across the street, they've been there for a couple of years, and then they started winning awards for wedding cakes, and they were clearly, that was what they specialized in.
They became a better
choice.
Yeah, it's all about reputation as well, you see. So if you built up a reputation for 20 years, you know you offer a good service, and if someone new comes along, you don't really know much about their service, you're always going to go with the experience, I guess. So it's exactly the same for a brand in affiliate marketing.
So what would be the reason? So you're like you're an affiliate manager, so you manage affiliate programs for some very big brands and for some startups. So why do people come to you to manage the program rather than going to work with, like, you know, obviously you're working with Awin on their behalf. So what's the advantage of using a good affiliate manager?
So I guess there's a number of things, really, from the setup. You know, they can recommend from past experiences, you know, if they've dealt with similar brands, they know which networks to go on, they know what strategies work. They've got an array of, over the years, I guess, an array of affiliates that they've built up a relationship with that they can tap into pretty quickly. And basically they just know where to go to push the brand and make it work, I guess. So it's a very, very quick win in terms of recruiting affiliates onto the program, you know, where you can maximize your exposure for the brand on these sites. Tenancies, you know, do tenancies work, do they not work? You know, we'll know probably straight away which tenancies we can go after to work and what which ones don't. So, you know, just by having an experienced manager, you know, you can probably cut a lot of wastage out as well as grow the program a lot quicker than letting it organically grow on a network and just leaving it there to hopefully succeed.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you why I work with you. And firstly, you know, when I come to you with like a fashion, you know, like a women's fashion brand, you'll say, right, well, I've got 2,000 affiliates in women's fashion. I'm going to email them tomorrow and I can get them onto the program. So that helps, you know, so you can get started straight away rather than if I did it myself, it'd be like, well, I'm just going to have to approach everybody one by one and not know who they are. And then the second thing is that I know you're having weekly calls with people like Money Saving Expert, the big affiliate people. And if I've got a smaller brand, I know you can pop them into that conversation. Whereas if I was just a smaller brand and tried to get a call with Money Saving Expert, they're not going to listen because it's like, well, who are you? But if they're talking in one breath, you're talking about a massive national brand, and then you say, oh, I've got this other one. It's just that those relationships that you've got.
Yeah, that's the biggest win for working with an established affiliate manager. Yeah, you know, you can cover a lot of affiliates, whether it be content affiliates, whether it be closed group, you know, voucher, you know, which voucher wants to go after. They know straight away where to go to, you know, to get the results from an affiliate program.
And it just saves a lot of time. And I don't think I've ever seen an affiliate program managed that well when it hasn't had an affiliate manager on it, because it just tends to. You know, if you kind of look at this like a win and you leave it there, it just tends to get clogged full of very low performing affiliates. The returns aren't done very well. You know, that there's auto approving commissions that shouldn't be approved. And it ends up being a clipping the ticket kind of program. So it is worth getting it sorted out properly, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it is all about, you know, talking to the affiliates and getting the most out of them, seeing where you can promote, you know, just having that relationship with them and talking to them regular is just a massive win. So you need someone proactively sort of contacting these affiliates every week and you know, seeking where they can push the brand, really. And that's just an ongoing, and recruitment's always ongoing, but you're always bringing new affiliates into the program as well. So it's just a constant. It's just constant growth, I guess, of recruitment, bringing on affiliates. If you leave it, you know, it would become stagnant and then it will slowly drop off. I've seen many, many affiliate programs do that in the past.
And so an affiliate manager, would an affiliate manager, would you pay them a monthly fee, or would you pay they get paid a commission on the sales as well, or how does it work?
I mean, it depends how the company want to work. There's two ways. You can work on a monthly fee, or you can work on a percentage of sales, really. It's whatever the brand that they're dealing with feels comfortable with. Obviously, there's benefits in doing the commission via sales. So if you take another 10% of sales or 5% of total sales, you know, there's an interest there for the affiliate manager to grow sales as much as possible. You know, different sort of, I guess, models work in different ways.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Ant. That's been very interesting. And I'm sure if people have questions, they'll reach out to us about affiliates. Is there anything else you wanted to add just before we close the session?
No, I think we've covered the main sort of basic topics. So I think it's been good.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time, Ant, and for everybody listening. Thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Okay. Cheers, Mark.